Somebody's going to go bridge here. It's a matter of time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gumbridge Podcast, episode 153. My name is Andrew Gardner, joined alongside by Alex Clausen. Clausen, how are we doing today?
Going to start episode 153 the way I believe I started 151 with another victory lap. Two victory laps, actually. One, you probably know where the second one's going. The first one, actually, you want the surprise first or last?
Just, we know Blake Snell sucks. I don't see why we constantly have to open up a Red Sox show with it. We know you don't like him. He sucks. Okay, move on.
Blake Snell.
Okay, we got it. We got it.
Two home runs.
I like people. We got to, people do not care. They do
his
not
ERA
care.
Is a,
they're here to
his,
listen about the Sox. They do
his
not
ERA
care.
Is flirting
they do
with
not
a 13.
Care. They do not care. I do not care. They do not care.
A 13.
I do not care.
My second victory lap. Also, thank you. Special thank you to the people of South Boston for treating me so well. Me and my mustache so well.
You're welcome.
On Saturday. I think I must have started the wave because there was a shit ton of guys at the bar that I went to with mustaches. And
that's a big pat yourself on the back there. Wow.
Yeah. I've been taking the victory lap for a long time. I had it before. Who has one? Travis Kelsey's got one. Zach Bryan's got one.
Isaiah Campbell, Greg Weiser.
C-Bum has one. Everyone's got one.
Kind of a trendsetter.
I think I started it.
Kind of a trendsetter.
And, you know, honestly, it's kind of a cult. It's kind of a fraternity, you know, like, had a conversation with probably four guys at the bar. You know, we saw each other and saw mustaches and we were like, just dap each other up. We said, game respects game. Nice mustache, and walked our separate ways.
Happy Patriots Day, everyone.
Happy Patriots Day.
Clausen, how's your Patriots Day? How'd you celebrate? What's the background behind Patriots Day? Like, I know it's the marathon day. Was there a battle? I think there was a battle one. That's where it originally comes from.
Seems like a Mark Wahlberg holiday.
I believe there was a reenactment this morning in the Commons of something. How do I get in on that?
Celebrated like, 1894, my bad.
Okay.
Origin of Patriots Day. Ah, set aside to commemorate the battles of Lexington and Concord.
There you go. There
fought
you
on
go.
April 19th, 1775.
There you
which
go.
Started the Revolutionary War.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
All right.
Well, for those unfamiliar, which I'm sure most Red Sox fans listening to the show are, Patriots Day, what is it? The third Monday of the month? I believe so. Boston Marathon was today. Red Sox played 11 a.m. Great. It's great to be around the city. We'll get to the game later on in the program. But overall, the vibes in Boston on Patriots Day. I actually had personally never been in the city for one of these. I had a lot of fun today. Not at the game, but over. Actually, it was a good time. But there were between the T and the Red Sox, man. Just liabilities all over the place, man.
Patriots Day is a great day in Boston. Marathon Day. Did you watch the marathon today?
I did. When I left Fenway, I was trying to get to Kenmore, and you had to like loop around. And yeah, I stood and watched for like 10 minutes, and I think it was like a little after mile 25. I give all those runners so much credit. So much credit. I mean, that like you see some awesome stuff with them running. Like, first of all, like, or a couple of blind runners, like running with a guide, you know, people being pushed in wheelchairs, like, you know, people like saw this guy nipples, like you seen The Office?
Oh yeah.
Like literally straight Andy Bernard, like nipples, just like bleeding down his shirt. Like,
yeah.
See some crazy stuff. Like
Davis Clark.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know there's a big time Boston influencer literally like posted himself shitting his pants on Instagram today. Like,
I can't believe he did that.
Yeah. That was crazy. But You see some like crazy stuff and you're just like, damn, this is like a hell of an athletic accomplishment. Everyone there is so pumped up, like such a great event. And to have obviously the Red Sox, like that's why they do it. They play early. You walk out, you watch the end of the marathon. Like we were, it was like probably sixth or seventh inning when the finish or the winners finished. I mean, they were like a little over 2 hours, but like huge ovation for them when they showed it on the big board. So yeah, I mean, overall, it's a great day. You'll love to see the Sox hopefully pull out a win or even look competitive. I'm just going to give a little preview. I was beside myself at the game today, beside myself, probably the second angriest I've ever been. Like, I don't really get angry watching the team. I'm just like, I shake my head. Second angriest I've been to the 28-5 game. Today was such a bad loss.
They've lost so many games recently. Today was kind of the epitome of it, of games that they just should not have lost, and they just refuse to do anything.
Do you want to just start? Do you want to just start with today?
Because I mean, they just gave the game away. I think it was charity.
I think it summarizes. We've got the final two Orioles game, the Angels series, and the first one against the Guardians today to run over in today's episode since we last recorded. We'll start with today on Patriots Day because we'll just get it out of the way. And yeah, basically just sums up the last week of this team. And you have a starter go out and deal. The Red Sox still have the lowest starter ERA in the bigs. Cutter Crawford, man, I can't say enough good things about how good he's looked this year. Like, he looks like a pro out there, working the count deep. Like, the first two batters of this game, he works them to full counts, gets them both to strike out. Like, he's just, you can tell. I'm gonna pull Davis Clark here, but he looks locked in. He's locked in.
I want to see where he is second. Actually, all right, so this guy does count. Paul Blackburn of the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
Three games, zero ERA. Yeah, he hasn't allowed a run or an earned run. But Cutter Crawford, second in the league in ERA with a .42.
Yeah.
Wonder.
Yeah, he went 5 2/3 today, didn't give up a run. And I mean, overall, just like carving the Guardians up. 6 Ks, only 2 hits. I mean, nearly gave up a bomb in the first inning. Willier Abreu had one of the catches of the year right up against the wall. And again, if you follow us on Instagram and you watch the post game recap video that we've been posting, if you don't, go follow us over there. I said today was like a game of two halves, basically. And the first half, the defense was unreal. I mean, Duran had like two or three great catches out in center. They moved Sidon to shortstop, and Weilier looked great in right field. And at that moment, you're like, all right, maybe we don't need Sidon in center. Maybe he'll be okay at short. And the six was fine, but the seventh, eighth, and nine innings were three of the worst innings of baseball I've seen like put together in quite some time. And again, it really, you can't chalk it up to all defense today, but I mean, that was kind of how the game got out of hand. And you end up losing a guy too because of just careless.
It's high school, man. It's before high school. High school coaches expect you to come in and have those just routine plays down. And it's one thing if the Sox are getting killed on, you know, someone dives for a ball and they miss and it you know, extends a single into two or three bags, or I don't know, they're just making like, you know, they're not getting impossible plays. It's not even that. It's routine double plays that are getting thrown off. They lost the game the other day because Valdez couldn't keep his foot on second.
It was Hamilton, but
Hamilton,
yeah.
Sorry. Hamilton couldn't keep his foot on second.
Spin your wheel of utility infielder.
That's his job. You turn two, you keep the bag, you keep your foot on the bag.
I mean,
and again today, Raffy and O'Neill going for a fly ball. There's no reason that one of them shouldn't have called it. And yeah, I mean, you had Rafael right there. Thank God he didn't take another two steps.
I was going to say, easily could have been a three man.
But yeah, That's basic stuff.
We'll play the clip right here. Also, we're moving up in the production game. If you listen to last week's episode, we're going to play the clip right here of a really bad collision in today's game.
Popped him up. Devers and Rafaela out. Coming on O'Neill. And a collision. Oh, my. Rafi went down. O'Neill went down. They both go sprawling in the outfield on the catch. And Rafi holding onto the baseball, made the catch for out number three somehow. And O'Neill took a shot. Rafi holding his head. Man, was that ugly. Three guys going after it.
So yeah, that was just really bad. I'm sitting up in I don't even know what they call it anymore. The Aura deck, whatever that new name, old, I'm still gonna call it State Street. sitting up there. I think it was like section 12 or 14 or up top, like left field. And yeah, that ball's coming out and I'm just looking and no one's looking. Three of them are just running out. And I'm like, I know what's coming. Like, you know what's coming. And yeah, Devers just, I mean, again, you mentioned it. Lucky Sadon didn't get in there, but they just, like, it was like a football hit. I mean, O'Neill goes spinning. I immediately turned away. I was like, it was like hard to watch. Like, it was a big hit. And then I honestly didn't even realize. I still don't know who made the catch, but one of them came down with it. And then, yeah, they just go immediately down. I mean, you're 2 and 3 hitters in the lineup today. You've got arguably, you know, the highest paid guy in your team who is supposed to be the best player. And then you've got the guy leading the MLB in home runs 2 weeks in. And you're just like, could this get any worse? And again, you mentioned it, totally preventable. Like, I'm so glad Devers is okay. It sounds like O'Neill, he's probably going to be out for a few games. I think he got 8 stitches, cut his head on the play. I believe his sunglasses were what did it there. But
T.O., he has a big gash here. He got stitches, 8 of them. So we'll see what happened next. He's going through the concussion protocol. Hopefully everything is fine. Rafi, same deal. Just kind of like got hit hard, I guess, you know. So he says he feels good, so we'll wait and see. He'll go through the same thing. They call it at the same time probably, and it's fine. In this game, we talk about communication and all that, but, you know, when there's 35,000 people in there, it's hard. It's hard. And there's two guys trying to make play, and they run into each other.
Just stuff like that. I mean, preventable. You never, like, you just couldn't, like, that. That is a classic head shaker moment right there. Classic head shaker. You're like, seriously?
And it's not even the first one.
No.
Not even the first one.
No. And yeah, so at that point, well, to begin with, we almost didn't have to deal with that because the batter before, I think it was Weiser comes in for Bernardino, which I was a little bit interested with that move. Bernardino lefty, they end up pinch hitting Brennan for Freeman. I believe they're both left-handed hitters, so I was a little bit surprised with that move, but Brennan ends up getting a hold of a pitch and kind of hooks it around the pesky pole. I mean, it was not like a cheap shot. He hit it pretty well, but that's beyond the point. But the play before that, it was a hard hit ball to Casas, who caught it first, and he was like inches. I'm not blaming him. It was a great play. Inches away from tagging the runner out at first for a double play. Would have gotten out of the inning. But yeah, then it leads to a home run and it leads to two guys getting hurt. Thankfully, Devers is okay, stays in the game. But yeah, that was only the half of it for this one.
It's a head shaker. It's a head shaker.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyways, then in the eighth inning, it was runners on, it was what, first and second. And we'll play that clip right here too.
He stepped off the rubber, but he might have flinched. It's off the glove of the first baseman, Casas. Scoring is Rocchio. In the third base is Quan Ramirez. The throw gets away in second. Here comes Quan. The Guardians steal another run. It's 4-0 Cleveland.
That's exactly right. They stole the run right there because of the hustle of Ramirez. And then you look at Rocchio hustling all the way and keeping his eye on the ball. Those guys did a wonderful job, and they kept pressure on the defense.
So the Guardians go up 4-0. There is no reason that a ball hit in between the hole of first and second base should be scoring a runner from first at any point in any game. And I don't know, like Abreu just tried to hose him at second, throw gets away. And at that point, you're just like, you knew the game was over. And again, it all comes down to defense. You get two unearned runs out of it, and then, or I guess just one unearned, but, and then an injury. So, you know, only one error today, but I think both instances today with how the trend has been going, and you can really trace it back to since Trevor Story's been hurt, been out of the lineup, it's been really bad. It's been bad.
Who, I'm trying to look on the coaching staff, who is in charge of defense? It's not Tech.
Do they have an infield coach?
No, so it's manager. I'm thinking it's bench coach, because they have three hitting coaches, a pitching coach, first and third, bullpen, Tech, who's game plan coordinator, catching coach, and two bullpen catchers. I don't know. Whoever's coaching the defense should be fired.
I'm sure that they do have an infield outfield coach. He's probably just not on the website.
Oh, he fucking sucks.
This was such a problem last year, and they did nothing. I mean, it's just kind of the epitome of the offseason. Everything that was a problem is still a problem. There's no starting pitching depth. The defense stinks. The bullpen, right, prone to collapses.
So according to, I just went to another team. So I went to the Braves. Yep. Their bench coach is also their infield coach. So I'm going to assume that Ramon Vasquez, who's their bench coach, is also the infield coach.
It could be. I don't know. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but
I don't.
I just, it's just stupid, stupid. It's
basic baseball.
Like, stupid plays.
You go watch a Cape League game. These guys haven't even been drafted yet, and they're making routine plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the Orioles game, and David Hamilton there, misses the base. And then just pulling up, I'm trying to remember who hit this home run here. Was it Kowser? Oh no, Santander. You would have been out of the inning, double play. He misses the base with his right foot, two outs. And then Santander smokes a home run into right field. And I mean, there you go. I mean, it sucked today. Like the other thing too, which was inexcusable today, was the offense. I mean, they only got three hits. Today was honestly the best lineup that they put out there in probably a week, like with Devers being out. And it felt like today was about as good of a group as you're going to see this year, which I hate to say it. Like, I think the only way it's going to get a little more permanent is with Grissom in there at second, maybe instead of Valdez. But yeah, I mean, you can, today wasn't exactly one that I'm like, oh, they could have won. It's more so just things, keep happening, same kind of trend, and just frustrating to watch.
Are you disappointed with the offense, or is this what you expected?
They're weird. They're streaky, very streaky.
And it's short streaks. Games they'll put up a combined 15 runs, and then the next game they will put up nothing.
Well, I was going to say, the game on Saturday, they scored six. The game we were both at, they scored six in the first two innings, and then I think only had like three hits the last six innings. So they go very streaky. Like, obviously shutout today. Like, they had a couple home runs yesterday. Casas, Yoshida, O'Neill. It just ebbs and flows. I guess this was kind of what I was expecting. Like, there's not a ton of guys in this lineup who I think you can trust every day to go out and get a hit. But there are certainly guys who are going to go out and have, like, again, boomer bust performances. And I think we've seen it with O'Neill, and we've seen it with Duran, and Casas sometimes has, those 3 for 4 days of a home run or two home runs. So if I not really, no. Well, I mean, is that kind of how you're feeling too?
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I was, this team, maybe it's just because people in Boston are so negative about it, but the team's 9-8. And if we were going based on the vibe that we got from the team and the way that people talk about the team, you'd think that they were like 5-11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like sinking underwater.
I know.
And they're really not. And it's just strange how they're really a really very good baseball team some days. And then other days they just completely fail to show up to the ballpark.
I think the main kind of vibe behind that is that people realize that this team is not built as a championship team, And so you got to get wins where you can. And despite the Red Sox being 9-8, they've given away at least two games to start this season. And so I think that's more so the frustration behind that, where you're like, you know, if this keeps up for a full year, like maybe some of these wins, they don't get as lucky here. You know, you hope the tide goes the other way, but nine and eight, I think if you told me, it was almost opening day, almost 3 weeks ago now. That's crazy. Like 2.5 weeks ago, if you had said 9-8 through the first 17, are you happy with that? Are you surprised?
No, I think that's kind of right, par for the course, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we always say water finds its level.
79 and 83 wins, right? 9-8 is pretty par for the course.
100%.
And they haven't lost. They've lost one series.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing too. I feel like there was so much negative talk around that Angels series, and they ended up winning it. Like Friday was another horrible game.
Terrible.
And you know, again, we talk about streaky. Like they get shut out today, they get shut out on Friday, but then they hang, you know, I guess not like an outstanding amount of runs, but five on Sunday and seven on Saturday. So, you know, I guess ebbs and flows, that's kind of how it's going to be this year. And today was just a cold one, but it sucks to waste such a good start from Cutter, who I'm not a wins losses guy, but when you have a starter who's got a 0.42 ERA, you gotta have a win for him. You gotta have a win for him.
And that's the thing that's just weird about this team, is like I said it in the last episode, they kind of have this trend where they go and they'll win. They don't have close games. Like I'm looking at the schedule. I mean, obviously winning 5-4 against LA, 6-4, 4-3, 5-4. Yeah, I guess there's a couple like 2-run games, but there's also an equal amount of like 7-2, 7-0, 9-4, 12-2 win, 9-0 win, 5-1 win. Like they're either winning big or they're losing big.
Yeah, and I feel like even in those games where it's like there haven't been a lot of tight ones, but like even Sunday, Kenley like almost blew that one in the ninth. Like that was
there was pissed me off.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too. Did you see what he posted? Was it on Instagram or Twitter? Did you see what he posted?
Maybe.
Someone actually posted it on like a screenshot on Twitter. I forget who it was, but they're like, my closer only pitches so he can post on Instagram. He posted yesterday. He goes, had to earn this one today. Tied for fifth all time. Red Sox with the win. Why? Yeah. Like, I'm not a fan of the congratulations, Kenley. Fifth all time in saves, tied John Franco with 424. I'm a huge like team first guy. So that I'm not a huge fan of, like the.
There's an I in Kenley.
Yeah. Tied fifth all time. I'm not a big fan of that.
No, he's just been rubbing me the wrong way. They got to shield him from the media.
Yeah.
He's stupid shit.
What was he talking about during spring training? He was like, back. Didn't believe in the team or some shit like that.
Which like I didn't either. That's yeah. Neither did Rafi. No one believed in the, in the team. I'm not going to get on Kenley for being old and wanting to win. And wanting to rack up saves and wanting to win another ring before he retires. So I can't really get him on that in spring training. But a couple weeks ago when he's complaining about his back being stiff because he sleeps in a hotel bed every night. And then...
Yeah, 5-star hotels.
Yeah, yeah. And then recently just being like, hey, nice win. Glad I got the save, fifth all time.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. He's like, I had to work for that one. And you're like, dude, you had like, it was a bases loaded, no one out or something like that. Like, also, I do want to say quickly before I forget, we totally move on from like Patriots Day as a whole. I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw something that John Henry was at the game today. And he's doing better. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. I don't really know if I want to talk about that. It was reported that him and Tom Warner did not go to Larry Lucchino's funeral because John Henry was feeling ill and Tom Warner was in England, which again, I don't know you don't know what's going on behind the scenes there, but at surface level, not a great look, not a great look. I mean, That's all I'm going to say on that.
Not good.
Not great. But I certainly hope John Henry was at today's game, because has he hasn't had a media appearance, I don't think, since winter weekend or like in an interview. Like he really has not made himself, like, I don't know. You just don't hear much about him anymore, which is also frustrating. So I really hope he was at the game today to see, you know, near sellout crowd, Patriots Day. Everyone gets there early. Sox get shellacked 6-0, and just the embarrassing display. You hope that kind of moves the needle a little bit.
It's not gonna.
I know it's not.
It's the classic catch 22. They win, it vindicates his non-spending. If they don't win, then he's just gonna say, we have prospects coming up. We were never supposed to compete.
It's a lose-lose. My last thing, I think this was another reason my blood was boiling today. Boiling. I put a poll up on our story a couple days ago, because it was Friday. I was watching the game on TV and they're getting smoked. 6 or 7-0 at that point. And, you know, middle eight comes around, Sweet Caroline starts playing, everyone's in arms, kumbaya, like everything's okay. Like you can call me grumpy. You can call us a hot take, anything you want. I'm done with Sweet Caroline if the Red Sox are losing. Or I understand. I think you're going to come at it from a different take. But today was my last straw with that song. After I saw Abreu throw that ball all around, the injury, that play, and then one out later, like 30 seconds later, you know, everyone's arm in arm was in the spring. Like, I'm not saying that's everyone, and I'm never going to come at, like, we're Red Sox fans too. I just don't think it's a good look.
I think there's got to be a threshold. I think that if you're more than six runs or more away from the lead, then I don't think you play Sweet Caroline. Because at that point, it's just like when you're down 18 to 2 against the Baltimore, against the Toronto Blue Jays, the last thing I want to do, if I'm still at the game, the last thing I want to hear is Sweet Caroline.
I think there's like differences too. Like if they're losing by one, but just blew a monumental lead, don't play it. But if they're coming back, like then you play it. Then you get the
I don't know. I think it's because if you're down one and they just blew it, then you kind of get the juice back.
Yeah, that's fair.
Give them a reason to go get two more runs.
That's fair. And again, I'm not coming at like anyone here. I do think that if you're at a game and the Sox are down, like, you know, you just see that stuff, like, I don't know. It makes me cringe a little bit. And when we put it on the story, received a pretty decent number of votes. We got triple digit votes on this one. 57% of people said that they should stop playing Sweet Caroline if they are losing in the middle of the eighth inning. And I'm kind of 50-50. I think I'd love it to be more dependent on the situation. But today for me, like we're texting with Brian and, he's like, here comes Sweet Caroline. I was like, oh, no, I like forgot about it. And I was like, no. And like the next pitch they made the out. And I was like, oh, I just sat back. Like, no.
It is a catch 22 because for the diehards, like, yeah, it pisses them off. But for like the casuals and the people who are there as tourists, like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. It's like John Henry said, ticket prices are, or was it Sam Kennedy? Ticket prices are high because they're selling the Fenway experience. Sweet Caroline is part of the Fenway experience, I guess. But yeah. Maybe that's a cold take. But I am not in on that when on a day like today. I'm not saying ever. I like it when they're winning. I like it when it's close, but that was not great today. Not great today. Anyways, within the Angels series, we kind of touched on yesterday. Besides the injury today to Tyler O'Neill, yesterday hits his 7th home run of the year. I don't think enough people are talking about how good of an acquisition this has been. Like how impressive have you been with O'Neill this year?
He is blowing away expectations. I figured he'd just be like a 75% of the time starter. He'd play mostly DH, and then he'd come in and he'd hit for an okay average. He'd hit, 265. and have 17 home runs and maybe 68 RBIs. And I figured he'd have a fine year. I figured they'd probably get what they paid for him. But right now, he's playing like one of the best players in baseball. And I had no expectation of that at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been like, it's been great to watch. And you hope that like this injury hopefully doesn't derail him at all. Hopefully he's not out for an extended period of time. But every home run he's hitting too is not a cheapie. I mean, we're talking bombs left and right.
Split squats and bicep curls.
That's all it is. The formula to success there.
All it is.
So he goes deep. Him and Casas go back to back in the first inning. Casas is it's been hot, and this kind of relates to Saturday's game as well, which we were there. That was quite possibly the furthest ball I've ever seen hit at Fenway. That home run he hit on Saturday. I mean, that was a good like nearly halfway up the bleachers, and they only measured that at 429.
That didn't even kiss the red seat. That thing is officially fake.
So fake. And I know Casas said that. If there's a clip I can find from that, I'll insert that here. I don't know if there was like a video clip of that, but
I'm like, pretty sure he said
well, he had a quote about it.
He did. He was like, that was the hardest. He's like, I don't think I could put any more on one. He's like, I don't know about that red seat. That's the hardest I could, that's the most I could put into a baseball. And I wasn't close.
Yeah. Tristan Casas, he said, that's my best ball for sure. I had hit one harder exit velo last year, but that Ted Williams seat is starting to feel more like a myth.
It is a myth.
I think it is. Here's the thing too, is the only ever argument I've heard, like, don't get me wrong, Teddy Ballgame's like top 3-5 hitter of all time, like baller. One of the best to ever do it. Probably the best Red
hitter
Sox
of all time.
Best, yeah, for sure. Best hitter in Red Sox history. The only thing is that like bats are better now. You know, guys are throwing harder. The only argument I've ever heard for that ball going so far that somewhat makes sense to me is they didn't have the press box up top, so it caught more of the wind and, you know, took it out there. But I will say Saturday was an incredibly windy day, and the wind was blowing out to right field too.
Sure was. I was sitting out in right field. I was freezing.
Yeah. So I loved it. I love to hear a player get on board about it, because, you know, we were not the first ones to start talking about that, obviously, but
no one thinks it's real.
I mean, Ortiz went out there with a metal bat and couldn't even do it. Like,
it's not. It's fake.
502 feet. Who is it?
When they unfreeze Ted Williams' head, we should ask him.
They might have to.
They got to have like a press conference when they unfreeze his head.
It's like the doomsday scenario. Like, if someone hits one further than the Red Sea, I mean, what are they going to talk about in tours anymore?
Nothing. What color is Tristan Casas' seat?
I think it's got to be yellow.
Yeah, probably, or like probably fluorescent yellow. Pink.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Got to be something just whack.
It's just like grass color. Just like a little piece of grass sticking out of it, because he likes to lay in the grass.
What color does he paint his nails?
I think black or red.
The black seat.
Black seat. Goes kind of hard. I don't know. That was a shot though. It was a shot. I mean, he hit another deep one on Sunday. Nice to see Yoshida hit a home run as well. I believe I saw, it was either last Wednesday or Thursday, that in his career he's only hit 4 home runs in the 7th inning or later. And he's hitting,
right?
He's hitting like 208 or something close to that in late inning scenarios.
Not a clutch hitter.
No. Yeah, they pulled that up, and I was like, yikes, not great. But yeah, Sox pull out a win, and Saturday, freezing cold game. Cooper Criswell, I thought he looked really good in his debut.
Yeah,
only gave up the home run there to Drury in the to Ward there in the third inning. But I mean, he went 4 innings. His pitch count got up pretty high, but definitely a very promising first look at Cooper Criswell, who I think is going to be sticking around in the rotation right now with obviously Pivetta out.
Yeah, until Pivetta comes back, he's stuck in. But even when Pivetta comes back, I'd be happy that if Criswell keeps pitching well, then it's good to know that there's a sixth option. Mm-hmm. God forbid someone else goes down that you can at least kind of rely on and you've seen before.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we're throwing darts at the board on who's going to start.
You got to have somebody. Real quick, two other things from, I don't really have much to say about the game on Friday. I mean, 7-0 loss, like Detmers was dealing. He's looked really good this year. I mean, he's got an ERA just over one. Hauk got really roughed up, which was, you know,
bizarre.
I mean, 12 hits in 5 2/3. I honestly was surprised they left him in for that long.
So was I. I think they're trying to get him to pitch count.
I mean, I think that's a good thing. Like, if you're losing, just keep trying to stretch him out. But another, you know, two out of your last four games, you only register three hits in this one as well. Two other things quickly on players during this Angel series. Justin Slayton, he's been looking really good. He had another great performance. It was Sunday, I believe. Yeah, Sunday. 2 2/3, two hits, only one earned. His ERA sitting at 0.87 to start here. So again, there have been moments with this bullpen, and we'll get to the last two games of the Orioles series here in a minute, kind of moving backwards. The other guy I want to talk about, because the Red Sox are completely relieved of hitters besides, I think his name's Taylor Heinemann. It's like their only other catcher on the 40-man roster. They have nobody else in the minor leagues on their 40-man roster who's a hitter. So if O'Neill has to go to the IL here, I don't know if you ride with a short bench. I don't really know what's going to go on there. But Bobby Dalbec, that kind of brings me to my point. You got to feel for the guy. Just can't buy a hit. I think it's mostly confidence. I'm going to say leave Bob alone. I don't really have too much to say on this, but I just hate to see him struggling so much. And he's struck out. I don't have his, let me see if I can pull up his direct stats here. 17 at-bats, 0 for 17 with 11 strikeouts and one walk.
It's crazy. He goes back down to Worcester and he mashes a home run. And then comes back up, strikes right out.
He almost beat one out on Saturday, but I think it's got to just be a mental thing at this point, which
maybe he just can't. I wonder what his home away splits are.
I don't know. He has.
I wonder if he just can't hit Fenway.
Well, he has played games on the road this year, but I mean, obviously it sucks. Like Bobby, would love to get Bobby back to his 2021 form. Could use him very badly. But yeah, he's just not a lot going on there. I don't know if a change of scenery is needed. I would hate to see him go, but it just seems like the writing on the wall is starting to show up.
For Bob's sake, I'll do it.
To move him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Home batting average, .244 lifetime. Away. Oh, all right. He's worse away. .210.
That doesn't surprise me. He's got the monster at Fenway.
But I don't know. Sometimes maybe it's just, I figured maybe it's hard to hit at Fenway, and that's why he's doing well in Worcester. I don't know what's going on with Bob, but I'm going to leave him alone.
I don't know.
He's going to figure it out.
Leave Bob alone. The more you leave him alone, hopefully he turns it around. And then the final two games against the Baltimore Orioles, the Red Sox end up getting swept in their first home series of the year. We went over the opening day game in our last episode, so we'll keep it to Wednesday and Thursday and kind of move a little more quickly through these two games. But we already kind of mentioned a little bit the game on Thursday, the 9-4 loss where you go to extra innings and you do have a lead in that game. You're up 2-0. Again, more blown leads. The lead on the game on Wednesday was obviously, you know, I guess a little worse, although the margin was worse on the Thursday game. But this was the game where Hamilton misses the base, Santander homers. I don't know what the Red Sox did to Colton Cowser, but he went off in this game, hits his first career home run, and Campbell for the second night in a row absolutely breaks down. He gets hit with a I don't know if it was a phantom IL injury possibly. He is on the IL after this one, but Jackson Holiday made his debut. Yeah.
He's our first candidate to make the Giving Socks.
Ooh. No, is Chris Martin in there as well? Wonder. Oh, no.
Well,
you're
Campbell
right.
Campbell gave up five.
You're right. Campbell is the first candidate on the Giving Socks.
Wow. He is the leader of the pack to win the Santa Claus Award.
He's trying hard. You know who has slowly started to look a little better? Is Jolie.
I don't want to hear it. Still don't want to see him.
Fair. But yeah, the Red
Sox
looks
better when he doesn't pitch.
I'm fond for him to stay in the pen. Bernardino's looked really good. There's no reason to have him back down. Looking really good. One of the only highlights in this game was the Connor Wong, tying home run there in the eighth inning to make it 3-3, and then the 10th inning, yeah, just a collapse. Gunnar Henderson home run. Cedric Mullins got a knock, and then Kowser hits the 3-run shot, and that would do it. You got anything for that game against Baltimore? Yeah.
That one just pissed me off. You're up what?
2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. I don't know. I mean, I guess you do something, but it's just you just let the game get out of hand.
Yep.
It, big plays, like you get rid of the big plays,
mm-hmm.
and the Sox are still in this game.
I mean, even in the 10th inning where Kowser hits the 3-run home run, you would be going in 6-3. They end up scoring a run. You had a guy on base, I believe, to end the game. So, at least give yourself a fighting chance. When it's 9-3, I mean, you knew it was over.
Yeah, there was no chance they were coming back. I mean, when they were down, I don't know, I guess you go into it at threes, and then you're down two, and at that point, you haven't scored a run really since the fifth inning.
Yep.
And it's just kind of the story. I don't know. It's kind of the story of how things go. They start hot, and then they tail off. And then, of course, if you've tailed off, you can't really expect yourself to heat right back up. It's just not how that works.
Yeah, you can't.
If you haven't scored since the fifth and you're in the 10th, I don't know.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Other funny thing was Reese McGuire got ejected in this one. The Red Sox had to play.
That was stupid.
What do you mean? Just that he did that?
That he got ejected.
Yeah, it was a strike.
It was a strike.
Yeah. I mean, then they had to play defensive charades. They were, I believe, like two hitters away from having to have Campbell hit there in the 10th inning because Devers and Rummy Gonzalez, who's now on the IL, were unavailable for the day. So they only had two bench pieces, which were Wong and Rafaela, who both came in. And so then they moved Yoshida into the field out of DH and just got like, you had Duran moving center, left center. You had Wong pinch hit, second base catcher, Rafael, second base center, Seth, second base. So just a mess all over.
Can't catch a break.
You can't. And then
do you trust these moves that are, these substitutions that are being made? I get that a large part of it is that you just don't have anyone better to put in. But some of these, I feel like the bullpen decisions, the substitution decisions, that's on Alex Cora. I'm kind of starting to scratch my head. I've always scratched my head on his bullpen decisions. He's never been good with that. But now I feel like it's starting to leak over onto defense and to pinch hitting. Am I overreacting here?
Maybe a tiny bit. I don't completely disagree. I think the bullpen, yeah. Like, again, today.
I definitely don't trust him to make the right bullpen decision.
No, like today, like Bernardino, there was I think he should have stuck in there. Like, I think maybe they have some other stuff they're looking at, but I keep him in there against the lefty. But I feel like the Red Sox have been making a lot of, like, net neutral changes. It's like,
yeah,
Valdez comes in, or, like, Reyes comes in. He moves to short. This guy moves to second. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know. With these guys who are, not that great, like, I feel like there's a lot of shuffling going on. And, like, you got O'Neill playing left some nights, playing right some nights. You got Duran playing left center. It's like you're playing that dice game, like left center, right. You literally, like, roll the dice. You're like, all right, where are you guys playing tonight? And he said today that like with moving Sedan to shortstop, it's because he wants Abreu in the lineup every day against righties, which is fine. Like they're thin, but I'd rather keep Sedan in center if that's where you're going to keep him long term, then keep him out there. There's no need to mess with that. We saw what happened with Xander Bogaerts when, and this is not exactly the same scenario, because I think the players now are a little bit better, but we saw back in 2014 what happened with Xander when was it Steven Drew that they were playing over him at shortstop and they moved him to third?
I mean, Steven Drew, you can make that decision though. Like Steven Drew was one of the most defensively sound shortstops of our lifetime. Yeah, you could put that guy in left field and he'd find a way to be at least average.
Maybe. I'm just saying that like that messed up Bogaerts' bat for a while.
No, it did. Him around. It was the wrong move.
Absolutely. I mean, Bogaerts, you knew he was going to be a big piece of your future, and there's no reason. Right. It was Steven Drew. Like, yeah, he was great, but like he was older. And so I Sedan with the bat is off to a very, very slow start. He still does not have a home run this year. And through 50 at bats, he's hitting 160, 14 strikeouts, two triples, only one double. So I just hope moving him around is not messing with his head, messing with the bat, because we've seen it in the past. It's not a crazy thing to say.
No, it's definitely not. I think defensively, I don't expect him to miss a beat, but he's still young. He's, what, 22? His bat's going to show up eventually if it's there.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not worried about Rafaela.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. And then the final game here, moving backwards to second home game of the year against Baltimore. 7-5 loss. This one was incredibly frustrating as well. Common theme in this episode. You had a 5-0 lead. Casas had that bomb onto the monster. And again, Cutter cutting him up. 5 innings. Did have 4 walks, 6 Ks, only 2 hits. Again, he's given up just 4 hits in his last 10 2/3 innings of work. And then the bullpen. I mean, this was really the first time this year that we had seen the bullpen kind of have a meltdown. But Campbell gives up 3 earned over an inning. Chris Martin, that was just a weird inning. There were a couple like catcher's interferences and obviously the double play. So that was just a weird. And then Bernardino came in to mop it up for the last 2 innings. Didn't give up a run. But the MLB debut of Jackson Holliday, which was cool. There were a lot of people in attendance for that. But otherwise, this was just another one that got away. I mean, this team could pretty easily be 11-6 right now.
This is no reason you give up a 7 unearned, 7 unanswered.
Yep.
I'm looking at the win probability. You had a 96.5% chance to win come the bottom of the 5th.
Yep.
And then it just spikes straight up.
Yeah, you had the Jordan Westberg double to make it 5-2. Wild pitch, Chris Martin. What was the play in there? Holiday ground out, gets his first career RBI, and then the wild pitch, and then Westberg beat him up in this one. It was the Westberg and Kowser show those last 2 games. Westberg hits the 3-run shot, just right of the yellow line in center field for the home run, and yeah, you can just kind of tell too. I don't know if it's early, but do you feel like in these games where they get down, they don't have much, I don't want to say much will to come back, but I just feel like in these games that they've been losing or, you know, have a lead and start trailing behind, there's been like, it just hasn't looked like a lot of fight to get back into it.
No. And I think that we talked about it a little bit last episode. There isn't really a rah, rah leader. And I get it. Like you don't need a Chris Sale that's like, fuck you, get in your face every time they need a jolt of energy, but they need like a Justin Turner. They need someone to just be there to right the ship when you need a little bit of energy and needed a little bit of just hope that you can, or at least just confidence that what you're doing is right and you don't just have to bend over and get into fetal position every time the game gets tight again. Yeah. That feels like what they're doing. Like they get up. These last couple games we've just talked about, they've been up. And then they stop scoring after the 5th inning. And then they start to go down and they don't pick the offense back up. Seems like a leadership thing.
I don't disagree. I mean, you can go up and down the roster. And I mean, it's just, I said at preseason, I said I really think Trevor Story is the captain of this team, and I believe it was you. You were like, I don't know about the captain of the team.
Defensively, I would agree.
Things can be traced back to when he's been missing, and I just think that impact again is pretty profoundly missed. And I would love to see. I mean, we're still so early into this season. You know, maybe come next year if we're trying to retool a little bit with young guy. Like, I'm curious to see who comes up by the end of the year. But I mean, if you have some prospects come up next year, you know, depending, I would obviously we're looking far ahead, but you got to add like a veteran or two, because I think that's one of the things that was really lacking this offseason.
Yeah, I think you need a vet on both sides. You need a pitcher and you need a hitter, because hitters don't motivate pitchers and pitchers don't motivate hitters.
And I mean, the two guys who I feel like you could kind of point to, like maybe having being those guys both out for the year, Giolito and Story. So,
right. Or even Pavetta. And I don't know. I wonder how Pavetta is received in that locker room, because he is very energetic. And I wonder if it's just kind of like the annoying puppy syndrome, or it's like, yeah, this guy's a dog. Let's go fight.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know. And we've had no update on him either, which has been kind of frustrating. I got one, or first off, you got any final thoughts on the last six games here?
No. Oh, maybe we do have an update on Nick Pivetta.
Oh, I will say too quickly while you look at that, the Red Sox leading the MLB in errors right now with 18.
Oh,
and, yeah. Just been a big problem. Then I got an interesting question for you too.
Let's see. Pavetta. Cora said Pavetta felt good after playing catch Saturday. The veteran right-hander was spotted on the field doing the same Sunday morning. Okay. Pavetta's 15-day stint was retroactive to April 6th, and it seems he'll return at the conclusion of it.
All right. So possibly the 21st. Actually, that let me ask you this question, and then that leads us in pretty perfectly to our look ahead here. Do you think that we will see a trade somewhat soon? I'm talking, let's say, by the end of April, for like a depth piece bat, or like a sign it.
No,
you don't think so?
No, because to do that, I mean, you know, what's going to be the market? So, A, you have to consider, what's the market this early on? Someone has to be willing to part with someone like that. And when you look at the standings, let's look at the standings.
I don't even mean that. I just mean like a guy on a minor league team somewhere who.
Oh, like, so like a true, like deep depth.
Deep depth. Or
utility players.
Like, I'm talking like, I know Jose Iglesias is in the minors somewhere. Like, you go out and get him again.
Or I mean, like, that would be the reasonable thing to do. Go get like
that. Yeah.
Elvis Andrews.
That's what I was going to say. Like Andrews, or like Mondesi, like someone like,
I don't want Mondesi. You can stay away.
I'm just throwing names up there.
But I mean, that would be the smart thing to do. You go sign someone for a ridiculously little amount of money just to go provide everyday stability at shortstop or second base or wherever you need it, the outfield, whatever. That would be the reasonable thing to do. But I just don't see them doing that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either. But
I don't see them. I especially don't see them making a trade either, because you have to find. I mean, half of it is you have to find someone who's willing to trade. And I mean, everyone's so tight. Like what's the wild card? Which,
well, you can't look at. I'm not talking about anyone of like importance. Like,
but that's what I mean. Is like you look at the American League.
I'm just saying,
everyone like, except for the White Sox is 3.5 games out.
Yeah, obviously
it's, in the it's NL, be, you're all but. I mean, the Rockies and the Marlins. Not sure that you want anyone on that roster.
You're 2 weeks in. Obviously, it's going to be close.
But that's what I mean, is like no one's going to, at this point, no one's going to punt on someone that could be valuable.
I'm just saying like a depth piece. Like, again, they have nobody on their 40-man roster besides people who are up right now. Like, they're not going to go out and trade for a like team starting shortstop. I just like no, someone.
But that's what but there is the other side of the coin to say too, is that other teams need depth pieces too, especially early on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure
no
they
one's
could.
parting with something like that this early. They have no idea if their starter would go down tomorrow, and then they'd be totally screwed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, your previous comment there leads us pretty well into our look ahead. And I believe our next episode, I'm actually going down to visit the Mouse this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, going to see the former boss. Going to rip. I'm ripping my 10-mile race.
How are you gonna do?
I think okay. I did 8.5 the other day.
Are you going for pace? Or you just going for completion?
No, I just like completion. Running out with my girlfriend, like one of her friends, and her boyfriend. So,
is this for you guys?
Yeah, four of us.
You guys more, gonna more. Together? You guys? You just gonna go? So you're just gonna rip it solo?
I hope together because I'm probably the slowest of the four of us. But anyways, I'll be back like early next week. So, we'll have another episode out just about a week from now. But, our look ahead for the next couple of days, you got three more against the Guardians at Fenway to wrap up a 4-game set on this 10-game homestand. You got Tanner Bibby versus Garrett Whitlock tomorrow night, 7:10 from the Fens. Then you got Tanner Houck facing off against Ben Lively, who is making his first appearance of the year. That game also at 7:10. And then on Thursday, going to be playing an afternoon game, 1:35, Carlos Carrasco versus TBD. I assume that will probably be Cooper Criswell and that one. And then you've got the weekend set will be at Pittsburgh. And then we'll probably be, I think the next time we'll be recording will be against the next series. They'll be in Cleveland taking on the Guardians again. Interesting how the schedule kind of set up. Got two, you've already got your series against the Angels done, and then the Guardians too.
Yeah, it is weird that all this stuff is so close together. I think you get, who else do you get out of the way? I thought they got Pittsburgh out of the way too. I guess yeah. Not.
Well, they'll only play Pittsburgh once this year. But
yeah, I don't know.
Do you like, I mean, I know this was last year too, but do you like this schedule where they play every team in the league and there's less divisional games? Or because I've seen people, I feel like this year talking about it more than last year already.
Well, I do like it because it adds more intriguing matchups. And if I remember right, and I'm actually looking now, the way that it wrapped up last year, once you got to August and September, you ended up playing a ton of divisional games to finish out so that you get a true finish at the end. And it looks like it's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Once you hit August 1st, you have Baltimore, Toronto, Baltimore again, the Yankees, Tampa, Toronto, and then you finish the year out in Tampa.
Yeah, you've got a couple other series wedged in there, but five out of your last six series are against AL East teams, Baltimore, New York, Tampa, Toronto, Tampa.
Which is how it should be.
100%.
I'm good if like the first half of the season is just a free for all. Let's go play everyone and have some good matchups and I think it makes for better baseball, but I don't want to see it in August and September when divisions are coming down to the wire and a lot of these wild cards at this point are interdivisional anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see that. I don't want to see the Sox playing the Pirates at the end of September when they're in a wild card race with the Rays.
Yeah, I am curious. Interesting you say that. Looking at it now, like it does look like the majority of the games against National League teams are in the first half of the year. The last game they play this year against a National League team, they have one series against the Diamondbacks at home, August 23rd to the 25th. But before that,
I pray to God Erod pitches that game.
I'm sure
I'm going to sit right behind the bullpen. Just I'm getting there 3 hours early.
I'll go. Where, is
it's going
to
be like
it's a weekend
it's gonna
series.
Like it's going to be like the guy who brought Kermit the Frog to the wild card game.
That was awesome.
That's a ball, Eddie.
Wasn't he? Was he? He was. We were supposed to. What was that thing? We were having like a live stream or something. Came in.
Eddie,
remember that? No. The guy with the Kermit.
Oh, really? Gonna have him on.
No. What was? Oh, was the round table maybe? It was something like that. He was supposed to make an appearance. But yeah, I mean, you've got like even in early May, you've got Atlanta, Washington, St. Louis, Milwaukee. We got the Braves again. The Braves again. They do play them twice this year. But I've seen a lot of not complaining about it, but you only play, I think, four or five less games against your divisional opponents. You're still playing each of them like 13 to 14 times. It's more than you do. Like people are like, well, you want to see divisional games to decide it. Like you're still doing more than the NFL, NBA, NHL. So I'm personally fine with
it. I'm all for it.
We do not have any questions from Matt this week. And to be completely honest, there's nothing to laugh at the Yankees for. There's really not a lot else to go over while we wrap up the show. Our last segment is going to be the Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week. You want to go first, or you want me to lead this off?
It's got to be Cutter.
That's what I'm riding with you on.
Actually,
that one.
No, you know what? I'm going to switch it up. If you're taking Cutter, I'll take Casas.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to give Cutter a point. I'm going to give him a 0.87 because a 7 is kind of like scissors. And 8, it looks like the 7s are the kind of going in there to cut it. So I'm giving him a 0.87 on the Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week scale.
I am going to give Tristan Casas a 0.503. 1 foot ahead of the red seat.
Oh, I like that. Fraudulent alert.
Fraud alert. He definitely nuked that thing. Rowdy Tellez has the record. I'm convinced.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not be surprised if someone else hit that further. But anyways, closing out the ninth here. What do you got?
Wally officially scared of Gone Bridge. I was leaving the Sam Adams deck, walking back down to where my seats were in the outfield, and lo and behold, Wally's in front of us. So it's me and our buddy, and I turn to my buddy and I say, I hate Wally. And Wally's taking pictures with everyone, so my buddy's like, let's go take a picture with Wally. So he pulls his phone out. And that was just coincidentally the time that Wally decided that he was done taking pictures. Mm. So he gets into the elevator, and I was this close to getting in the elevator behind Wally.
He knows we know.
He has to know. He knows. I wonder what would have happened if I got in the elevator with Wally.
Would you like interrogate him?
I probably would have just like thrown a hand or something.
Where were you?
You open the elevator door and Wally's just face down in the elevator. Walk out.
Dude, that'd be a bad look. Bad look for the show. I think Wally's
a coward,
though. Wally knows that we know.
No, he knows.
He's a huge coward. Yeah, it was his he had his 27th
birthday. 27th he wouldn't birthday. Even let us take a picture with him on his 27th
Come
birthday.
On. Yeah, it was his birthday the day we were there.
Yeah, that was ironic.
Weak stuff from Wally. My closing out the ninth thoughts. Steve says hi to all y'all listening to the show. Was at the game with him on Wednesday. Got a good Moose video in there with him.
Oh, yeah.
He was pumped up there for the Casas home run. Video. Love to see it. We're going to try to get Steve on the show soon. It's just a matter of scheduling. He's still welcome as much as he would like, but, as of right now, we're recording this very late at night on a Monday, on a work night. So it is that's not his cup of tea. So, but great to see him. Tough L, and hopefully we'll have some Steve Brady action back on Gone Bridge. Get the three of us back together here soon. But I think today I was hearing something. I think today because of the man of the week, Cutter Crawford. Who I will say very, very quick too. Last week we talked about walk-up songs. Most of the walk-up songs on the MLB website were very incorrect. And a lot of them are a lot worse this year. There are very, very few good ones this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't know many of them, but I was like, I don't know, I'm sitting in the outfield. I'm like,
Yeah, no, there weren't many that caught my ear. But Cutter's rolling with Cut It by OG Genesis this year, which is kind of like, it's funny. It's like X going give it to you. Xander had that for a while. But Cutter's the man of the week. Two amazing performances. We're going to be rolling with some new outro music here. I don't know. Probably it's going to be varying by the end of the week. We're gonna see what the vibe is like at the end of each episode. But we'll let Lil Wayne take you out here with Hustler music. So if you enjoyed what you listened to, don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Follow us on Instagram at Gombridge Podcast and Twitter at Gombridge. And we will be back next week. Hopefully some more wins. Episode 154. See ya!